Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. This evening, we're going to get our Bibles turned to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, chapter number 11. Good to see each and every one of you here tonight. I know that there are several that are not here. Sickness is going around. So we're going to pray that God would touch them, heal their bodies. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to preach this tonight. I've been meditating on this is the better word. I've been meditating and thinking about this for a while. And there's been some thoughts that have popped up. And I've wrote these thoughts down. And so tonight, I was trying to preach Christmassy. And I looked through the files. I looked at everything. I thought, well, I'm going to preach about Mary. And I looked at the document on Mary, and it just didn't work. So I said, I'll preach on Herod. Herod didn't work. So I'll preach on Joseph. That didn't work. So I'll preach something else. That didn't work. And so anyways, this kind of come back to me again, and I went to this scripture in Hebrews 11, and as soon as I went there, I knew it was it. I was going to save this till after the first of the year, because this is going to start a brand new series. Amen. And so this is going to be a series concerning the family. And we're going to start off with several lessons. We may be in the family all of 2026. We're going to start off with Noah. Verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says, by faith. Now this is amazing. By faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Praise God. Amen. I don't have time nor the energy to preach all of this verse. This verse is packed full. But let's just take that first little part. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Amen. Being warned of God as things not seen yet. We're going to talk about Noah part 1. That's a pretty impressive title right there. Noah part 1. Praise God. Amen. God's good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. May start preaching all of this on Sunday nights, as I need the young men here so they can hear it too. And praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Let's pray for those that are sick and out tonight as well. God of heaven, we love you and we thank you. We sure need you tonight. God, we're humbly coming before you, seeking after your will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's do it loudly. Amen. Let's lift our voice unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not going to be just hearers of the word. We're going to practice. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and magnify you. We exalt you. We adore you. We lift up your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Savior, 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 Savior. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. When God first spoke to Noah about the building of the ark, we must take into consideration that it was more than 100 years before the flood would ever happen. Before the flood would ever take place, God warned Noah 100 years prior to that. I've said that because there are some things that we're going to elaborate on this a little bit even tonight. But there are some things that because that we cannot see them on the horizon, because that we do not visually see the problem, the manifestation of the issue, because that we physically cannot see it, and even spiritually cannot see it, we tend to not take heed to the warnings of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was no sign that such a catastrophic storm would take place. For a full century, things upon the earth would continue as they were. In all reality, nothing changed except that the people continued to grow worse and worse. Evil men, seducers, waxing worse and worse. And if, as some believe, it had never rained before the flood, then the Lord's pronouncement must have seemed all the more unlikely of fulfillment. Praise God. Hopefully we can understand that here tonight. That there was a prophetic warning that was transpiring even through the voice of Noah. Noah, the Bible teaches us in Peter that he was a preacher of righteousness, and that he warned of things to come. And in the building of his boat, there would be people that would, I do not know this, but maybe they would help out at different times. Maybe they would just ridicule him at all times. Maybe as the years began to progress longer and longer, the ridicule became stronger and stronger, and he became the laughing stock of the community and from the community to the country. But yet the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that through this, that by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so we begin this in Hebrews, the faith, or we would say Hebrews 11, Faith's Hall of Fame chapter. And I think that it is noteworthy to recognize Noah's faith in that he is established and put into the halls of faith here because of what he did. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we must understand that his faith was for the saving of his house. And hearing God enabled him to be able to find the plan of salvation for his house. A plan of salvation for his house was an ark. And that plan implemented one door. And and one window, and so high and so wide, and built with gopher wood, and pitched within and without, and we know all of these things and stuff. But it was Noah's faith in the unseen. It was Noah's faith in the Word of God. Noah's faith in the Word of God would be compiled in, there is a flood that is coming. And some people would say, well, what is a flood? And Noah would only be able to tell them what he had heard, was impressed of by God. It is some catastrophic storm that is going to pour out deluges of water, and the water is going to fall down to the ground, and the wells of the deep are going to break up, and the entire world is going to be covered by water. And that just sounds goofy. And so that's probably what the people thought, and they thought, and some scholars would believe that it had never ever rained before, and so there, you know, what is this? This is the fact that water would come down from the sky is preposterous, and there's no reason why that we should even believe you, and it just sounds unbelievable, and so we choose not to believe you, but yet it was Noah's faith in the unseen. Seen. It was Noah's faith in something that had never taken place before, that would be out beyond his vision, but yet he continued to believe. And because that he believed that there was this flood, this destruction, the devastation that was going to come somewhere in the future, he prepared today for what would transpire sometime tomorrow. Not necessarily tomorrow, but a futuristic tomorrow. He prepared today for something that he had never seen, something he had never experienced, something that he had never heard of until this moment. Let me just liken this unto the rapture, unto the second coming of Christ, unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we still believe that he's coming back. Amen. That the Lord is going to return according to the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, amen, that the trump of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him together in the skies, and so shall we be with him forever. You have never experienced the rapture. I have never experienced the rapture. Our forefathers have never experienced the rapture. There is nobody, amen, that we could really talk to begin to get a clearer understanding of the rapture. Maybe we should call back Elijah and have him explain a rapturistic way. Maybe we could talk to Enoch, amen, and have him explain. But you understand what I'm talking about. Those are really the only two other than the man Christ Jesus, amen, who was raptured up into the clouds above him, received up into the clouds before. Maybe those three are the only ones that would be able to somehow or another be able to try to explain it to us. But you get what I'm talking about here today. We are believing in something, amen, that we have never experienced. Something that we cannot go to Wikipedia, amen, and get, amen, a complete, concise definition of it happening before at some place. Amen. I want you to know that Siri's best explanation isn't going to amount to a drop in the bucket of what the rapture is going to be. AI is not going to be able to detail the catastrophe and the wrath that will be poured out upon the face of the earth. Amen. And the only reason that they would be able to even begin to assimilate their conscious efforts to bring to fruition this concept is because of what is given to us in Scripture. But even beyond that, man's ability to understand how it's going to happen, what is going to happen, and what is going to transpire, amen, is only going to be a drop in the bucket of really all that's going to take place. Nevertheless, we believe it. He's coming again. He's coming again. Amen. And we are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are living today, amen, for what is going to happen sometime tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but maybe, but in a futuristic tomorrow, we are putting our faith in the Word of God, and we are doing what we do today in preparation for the saving of our house. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Noah was building an ark. The ark is symbolic of the church. We are still working on a church. Noah built the church for a century. He built the ark for a century. We are building the church indefinitely until the coming. Noah built until the day that he entered in. Amen. And the floods came. There is going to come a day that which we have prepared for is going to get us out of the world of trouble that comes upon the face of the earth. Amen. Praise God. It's going to happen, and we believe it's going to happen. Now, you understand. I'm just setting the preliminaries here. But you understand the amount of faith that it took for 100 years. Amen. Brother Johnny Burgess's dad passed away earlier this year, and just a couple of months ago. Passed away. He was 99 years of age. I don't know when he received the Holy Ghost, but he didn't work 100 years towards his reward. Brother D.C. Moody passed away back in last month in November, end of December, or 1st of December. But 90 years of age. He didn't work 100 years. Noah worked 100 years upon his boat. And so we cannot even fathom working 100 years on something. And you know, the way that humanity works is that we oftentimes get tired of monotony. And so we need different things in our lives. I know working construction, I would work on a building, and working on a building for 1 year was a long time, was a really long time. Now, a building, you know, such as the building that we're building in Hutch, you know, could be a two-year project, a three-year project. But for us, our scope of work was about if we were there for over a year. That was a massive, massive project. We're talking 15 floors. It was a massive project for something like that, major. But I always look forward to the new project. Some projects took 3 months. Some projects took a half a year. Some took five. Some in between all of this. But it was like, I've seen enough of this. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to get. But Noah was there for 100 years. Working day yet. You can't be weary in well doing. You've got to be able to keep the faith. And there are going to be those that are in opposition against you, and they're going to ridicule you. That there are those that are going to be physically against you. Not necessarily in ways of persecution, but in ridicule. They're going to defame you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to question you. Why? Why are you always going to church? Why are you always working on that boat? I'm working on the boat because there's going to be a rapture. You don't even know what the rapture is. There's going to be a flood. You've never even seen a flood. Nobody has seen a flood. I just got a question. Has your great-great-grandpa seen a flood? No, nobody's seen a flood. Hey, man, do you know of anybody that's experienced this rapture? And yet you live your life for something that's never happened, for something that, yes. I'm living my life for something that has never happened. I'm living my life for something that I have never seen. I'm living my life, amen, for something that is only in the imagination of my mind coming out of a book. That's unreal. That's preposterous. That's the ridicule that's there. the temptation that's there, because Noah got tired, and the temptation that's there. You know what? Why don't you stop working on that boat? Why don't you come down and you know, do some things that you used to do? Why don't you hang around with some people that you used to hang around with? Why don't you, amen, take some time off and go have some fun? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Amen. But I want you to know that there was something that was on the inside of Noah that needs to get on the inside of every one of us. And you got to understand, I am doing this. And I'm not only doing this for me, but I am doing this for my family. Well, come on, somebody. I'm doing this for my family. Praise God. Your family may be in church, and they've got to see you remain consistent. They've got to see you that should you stumble and should you fall, they've got to see you get back up and keep fighting the good fight of faith. They've got to see you be as consistent as you possibly can if you're ever going to be able to save them. Some of you have got family that's not in church, and the same is for them. You've got to remain solid. You've got to remain stalwart. You've got to remain strong. You've got to put forth the effort because they're watching you day in and day out. I wonder when he's going to get tired of building that ark. I wonder when he's going to get fed up, amen, with that ark and all that business and all that phony stuff. I wonder when, amen, you owe it to your family. You owe it to those that are coming up behind you. You owe it to the heritage, to the generations that are there, to walk solid before God. You have found grace in the eyes of God, or you wouldn't even be here today. But somewhere or another, God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to know this is the way. This is the best way. Amen. It is the good way. It is the right way. Amen. You just got to stay the course of time, and you got to keep the faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But you gotta keep walking. Now, I could talk about the way, because there was a way which Noah was to build the boat. God did not just show Noah a picture through a dream or a vision and say, all right, I want you to take a good look at this. Now, I don't care how you do it, but you're going to need something like this. It was not left up to Noah to figure out how to make. The Lord told him, so this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You're going to build a boat. You're going to build it so many feet wide. You're going to build it so many feet high. You're going to put one door in it. You're going to put one window in it. You're going to have three stories. You are going to build it out of gopher wood. I could preach. There was a name that was applied. Noah, you don't get to just choose whatever tree you want. You don't get to, this is going to go through the water. There's a name that's applied. You're going to use gopher wood. And so maybe Ham or Sham or Japheth said, you know what? There's a lot of wood that's a lot closer, a lot easier to harvest than the gopher wood. Well, the Lord said, we're going to do this. We're going to use gopher wood. Well, so on their journey to go gopher wood, pun intended, maybe they were ridiculed. Why are you going so far? I mean, you could use the pine. You could use the cedar. You could use this. You could use that. No, the Lord said that we're going to use gopher wood. There's people, they don't understand Jesus' name baptism. They ridicule us because of Jesus' name. It does not matter. It does not matter. You could hand them a Bible the size of a mule and say, I want you to find in here one place that they baptized somebody other than in the name of Jesus. Here. And they will look at you and they will say, well, I may not be able to find it in there, but. And they want to use, I was talking with somebody either earlier this week or late last week. And I mentioned something about it. I was like, you know what? That it's just not in the Bible. You cannot find anywhere in the Bible that it says baptize, that they baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's not in there. They're like, but you know what? I mean, but that's what Jesus said. Jesus also said. Now, that's what Matthew recorded. That Jesus said. You need to understand that. That's what Matthew recorded. Say, oh, say, Matthew make a mistake? No, just put it in perspective of what Luke says that Jesus said. Because they're writing concerning the exact same time. Matthew 28:19, Luke 24:46-47 is the exact same time frame. Luke said, it behooved Christ to suffer and to die that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. That's baptism. All right? So we understand. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are titles. The Lord told Noah, build it out of gopher wood. It was a name that was given that was going to go in the water. I want you to notice something. That if they had not used gopher wood, if they had used the cedars of Lebanon, it would have sunk in the water. I don't care if you're baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're not being disrespectful. There's got to be a name that is applied if it's ever going to make it through the water. So Noah did this. Noah said, no, we're going to use gopher wood. Somebody would ridicule and say, well, I just don't understand all of that. Noah said, I'm trying to save my family. And I have faith in God. And God said there's going to be a flood that's going to come. And God said that I'm going to build, that I should build an ark. And God said that I should build it out of gopher wood. And then I should do this and do that and build it so high, so wide, so tall, so long and this. God said that. But you don't know. No, that's faith. That's we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible says specifically that Noah did it to the saving of his family. Praise God. Praise God. If you don't live it in front of your family, don't expect your family to ever want it. And if that's the case, then I've got a question for you. Do you believe this is the truth or do you not believe it is the truth? Because if you don't believe this is the truth, then you're going to falter and you're going to waver, and any little thing is going to be able to cause you to trip and stumble. But if you believe that this is the truth, then you owe your family to live it in front of them. Because this is what's going to get you through the storm. This is what's going to get you out of this world. What's going to get you in the rapture, amen, is the faith that you have in the Word of God and doing exactly as He tells us to do. That's what's going to save your family. I can imagine that sometimes it was Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their, amen, and maybe their wives that would look at their father and their father-in-law, amen, and just maybe shake their head in bewilderment and say, you know what? Dad has got a steadfast faith. You know what? It's been 57 years, and he's not giving up. You know, and sometimes it may, it's all isogetical, but it may have been dad's continually getting up and making it happen and doing it and saying, hey, you know what? We got to get up and go to church. We got to get up and we got to do this. You know, we got to get to work. We don't have time to spare. Hey, we don't have time to play around. We don't have time to do that. Yeah, we've been doing this for 61 years now. But it was dad's steadfast faith that caused Ham, Shem, and Japheth and all the rest of them to say, you know what? There's something about this. Dad's got a hold to something. Dad's not fickle. Dad's not wishy-washy. Dad's not up and down. I just want to know, what does our family have to say about us? Well, you know, I don't know if they're going to be Pentecostal today or heathen. You know, I don't know if they're going to go to church or not. You know what? That's a crying shame. Praise God. Let me get in the microphone so we can say it louder. It's a crying shame when your children have to wonder whether you're going to go to church or not going to go to church. Come on, I'm talking about the family. You got to have a made up mind that no matter what comes against me, I got to keep on keeping on. I said I got to keep on keeping on. I cannot allow my family to see, amen, a wishy-washiness. Cannot allow my family, amen, to see, amen, that maybe I believe it and maybe I don't believe it. They need to see a steadfastness. I believe this is not just a good way. I believe this is the way. Praise the Lord. I was by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I'm still in my opening remarks, okay? I haven't even got down to point number one. This just... my mind just skipped out. What's that? Introduction, foundation. There's another word. You know, in the book, when you're reading the book, you got the introduction to the preliminary. It's not the prequel. It's, we're in it. But this just getting started. Prologue. Yeah, this is just the prologue. That's it. We're just getting a good idea of what's going to happen. We may not get out of the prologue today. Some people said, I heard that. I want you to know I don't have the energy to do that. Been working in Hutchinson, and my mind is saying, oh, you can do it. You can do it. My body is saying, what are you thinking? Noah being warned of God. We've got to be spiritually sensitive enough to catch, to hear, to understand, to perceive the warnings of God. Because our family is at stake. You know, sometimes that warning is nothing but just a feeling. Walk into a certain area, it's like, walk out. Why did you just walk out? I don't really know. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I want you to know that probably most of Noah's life, especially in those 100 years, didn't make sense. But he was close enough to God to perceive the warnings of God. You need to pay attention to some of the things that you feel. Now, don't take what I just said, go build a doctrine on it, and just go out and say, well, I feel this, and I feel that, and I feel... Because there are some statutes, there are some things that you need to put into play before you start just doing everything that you feel. Because a lot of what you feel may not be right. But we're going to get to that maybe next lesson. But Noah being warned of God. Warned of God. This isn't God just wanting to talk to Noah. This isn't just a communication, dialogue stuff. There is a warning. You need to understand. I'm feeling this of God. Is this just mutual feeling? Is this, or is this a warning? There's a lot of times that God talks to us and it's warnings. And God talks to us through the preaching of the Word of God. God talks to us through the reading of the Word of God. God talks to us. I know that I am the pastor, and I know that when I say this, that there's a lot of men that they won't necessarily refute what I say, but they're like, well, you better be careful. You know what? You're not idiots. God talks to you. I believe that God talks. I want God to talk to you. I don't want you to become so dependent on me for every little word. I want you to be sensitive enough that God can deal with you and God can move on you and God can inspire you. I may need to back some things up, but you know what? There are some people that, can I say it without anybody getting offended? They're idiots. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just stating a fact. You know? I've had them come say, well, you know what? This is, I feel this, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I feel like God said this. Okay, time out. Time out. When you come tell me and you say, God told me this, my question to you is, who am I to refute that? God, pastor. So we do need to be very careful about, so, well, God told me this and God told me that. I may want to tell you, God told you no such thing. Oh, well, I know, God told me. No, God didn't tell you because it's contrary to His Word. It works in opposition to His Word. God is not going to tell you something that works against His Word. So if you feel like God told you something, number one, you're smart enough to apply it to the Word of God and say, you know what, it fits all the categories, so you know what, this may be of God. You know, Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So if God said something, just keep your ears open. Don't switch channels. Just keep your ears open. Because a lot of times what God tells you is going to be confirmed through the preaching of the Word of God. Two or three witnesses aren't saying, oh, you know what? God told me this and this and this. And I know where that's found in the Bible, so I'm going to go find it. And there I go. I got two witnesses. And no, that's called cheating. Tessa can tell us what happens when people cheat on test. Yeah, they get a zero. You failed. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. But I'm not disputing that God doesn't talk. But you need to understand that there was a time when God said, you know what? I'm through with these people. What shall I do? And there was one that stepped up and said, I'll tell you what to do. Let me be a lying spirit. And I will go and I will tell them a lie and they'll believe it. Lord said, go. So you need to be careful, because sometimes it may not be God. It could be a lying spirit. And so we do need to line it up with the Word of God. And we do need to line it up with the man of God. Now, I'm jumping ahead in all of my lessons and stuff. Let me go back. The warnings of God. We need to be able to perceive the warnings of God. You know why? Because God doesn't want you to be lost. But if when the preached Word of God comes forth, if you can see it in your Bible in black and white, red and white, or blue and white. You say, blue and white, I've got a Bible that's the words of Christ are in blue. Okay? It's pretty cool. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter if it's in black and white, red and white, or blue and white. It doesn't. There's sometimes that it's preached right over the pulpit, but people don't perceive it. And they just keep blundering on about their life. And then you know what happens? Yep, you guessed it. They come to me with their shambles, their problems, their broken pieces, and all that other stuff. And say, what do I do now? And you know what I want to say? Well, if you would have listened to the preaching, if you would have listened when Brother so-and-so was here, if you would have listened to Sunday morning's message, if you would have listened to Wednesday night's message, oh, never mind, you weren't there. Come on now. Yeah, you know, some people think that church is just, just something that's on the schedule somewhere because... No, this is a spiritual deal. And there is a devil that's trying to destroy me. There's a devil that's trying to get me to quit building the ark. You know, and you've got to be steadfast in this even though you haven't seen it. Noah being warned of God by faith. Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. Now, I'm going to get to the end of the prologue. We'll start the chapter sometime later. But let me just say it like this. Being warned of God of things not yet seen. Don't be so small-minded and tunnel vision that the only thing that you see in this is the rapture. Okay? Because it's far more than just that. There are things that God wants to warn you of through His Word, through inspiration, through praying, and through preaching. And God wants to warn you about these things, and it's not the rapture. But it's warnings of things that there are things that can and will happen in your lifetime, all right? Because we can also take this and we can say, well, the ark is symbolic of the church and the storm is symbolic of the rapture and stuff. I can refute all of that, all right? But we're not going to go there. We're not going to do all of that. The bottom line is that when the storm was over, Noah got back out on the earth and sinned. All right, so Noah was still human. So the life still continued. That was only for a short little deal that was right there. But what I want to tell you is there's things that's going to come in your life that you've got to be spiritually cognitive about, conscious about, sensitive enough, amen, that these warnings, amen, of things that you may not see as of yet, but there's something dire that comes across through the preaching, through the Word of God, amen, through inspiration, through prayer, that causes you to step back, amen, and to be concerned, to watch, to prayerfully think, consider, amen, to counsel, to take counseling of, amen, to talk about, to have your pastor begin to help you pray about, because there's warnings that come. Why? God's not interested in you being lost. He didn't shed His blood so that you could be lost. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Bible says in the book of James, amen, that a man, that when he looks and he beholds himself in the mirror and he sees what manner of man that he is, the Bible says that he takes no heed for it and he goes his way. Amen. Every one of us, everybody say me. You have a way. You have a will. You have a desire. You have direction. And you're going to do your thing. And sometimes your way may be altered. Sometimes somebody may be able to help you. But at other times we are so set and so dogmatic in our way that dynamite ain't going to change us. We need to be careful. Because that's what the Bible said. The Bible said he takes a look at himself in the mirror and he goes his way. I'm going to do it my way. Hey, you got broccoli in your teeth. I'm going to do it my way. Your hair's not fixed. The mirror just told you the truth. You should do something about it. I'm going to do it my way. And there are times when the preaching of the Word of God comes forth and tries to help us and trying to prevent catastrophic things, salvific, destructive things from happening to us in our life. But yet we see these things in the mirror of the Word of God and we just go our way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So Noah, being warned of God, and it just simply says, of things not seen. Now, we know there is a rapture coming. And so we operate by faith today. We're baptized in Jesus' name. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We live holy lives. We live separated lives from the world. We come out from among them and we are separate, saith the Lord. We do all of these things by faith for something that's not seen, heaven, but then also stumbling blocks that are down the road. We're directed by the Lord and the Lord helps us out. Why? For the saving of his family. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to get into this. We're going to dig into this. Because this is important. This is important. You have family members that are watching you. If you don't live it in front of them, if you don't build it in front of them, they're never going to be saved. You have family members in the church. And if you live and play the part of a hypocrite, don't expect them to be some spiritual guru. If your kids don't see you praying, don't expect them to pray like you don't pray. If your children don't see you living it, don't expect them to live something that you're not living yourself. It's going to get tight for a long time, but it's right. Don't expect your children to be worshipers if you're not a worshiper. Don't expect your children to walk in truth if you don't walk in truth. Don't expect your children to be faithful to God if you're not faithful to God. Don't expect your children to be anything that you're not. The lesson is, if you want your children to be, then you need to be. If you want them to pray, you need to pray. If you want them to be faithful, you need to be faithful. Let me just tell you something. People's unfaithfulness to the house of God plants seeds in their children, and when their children grow up, they can say, oh, my children go to church. You just give it some time, because the Bible says, and the Bible speaks of a principle, that which you sow, you shall also reap. And you may be able, and God save your soul and help your soul, you may be able to control some unfaithfulness, but the generation behind you may not be able to control some little unfaithfulness. So it behooves you to be faithful because you're doing this to the saving of your family. Yes, you've got to save yourself from this untoward generation, but you are an epistle written and read of all men, and your children know you better than anybody else knows you. Praise God. Let's stand tonight.